Hello, everyone. Let me get my notes up. Today, we're talking about busting that body image. Some bullshit that we talk about when it comes to body image. I got a sweet ass little class planned for y'all today. Let me get all my windows set up, get things going here. We will rock and roll. Let's see. And y'all can hear me okay? Yesterday, I started a call and sounded like a damn robot. Okay, good. I do one free Facebook Live a month for the public. And I started up yesterday and it was like not starting right. And then I sounded like a robot that had reboot my computer. I was like, damn, this is one way to wake up in the morning. All right, let's get it going. Let me get Coach Lisa up here. So this is I usually teach something on this call on Wednesdays. So I do a little teaching. And then I switch over and I do some Q&A. So if you have questions, you can just ask your questions in the Q&A and either me or Coach Lisa will get to it. Let me fix my camera. I don't know why, but I always feel like Chris got me a new camera and I always feel like I'm sitting in a hole. I never can get it to where it's just right. There we go. That's a little bit better. Okay. It did not happen on Facebook. So this is one of the things y'all were asking about. Where is your free Facebook Live? Don't rely. Number one, you're a member. You don't need to go to the Facebook Lives. There is nothing I'm teaching in the Facebook Lives that we haven't covered extensively and better inside the membership. I do not teach anything to the public that is hardcore. It's light concepts at best. The reason why I do that just for all of you is when you're not inside the membership, you don't have a place to go ask questions. You don't have a community of support. You don't have backup resources. So if I'm explaining something, you're like, ooh, I want to dig deeper. You know, we can tell you, here's other videos you can watch. Here's other things, like here's a program that you can do. So much of what we learn in here needs like support around it. It needs the planner. It needs ask coaches. It needs coaching calls. It needs those things. I can't go deep on the outside. That's why I don't. And that's why so many people, they'll listen to the podcast and they'll get some results from listening to the podcast, but eventually they hit a plateau. They eventually hit a stall. And that's because the four basics, those things that you do, they will work up until a certain point and then they'll hit the emotional threshold. So the way that I like to explain it is when you first start listening to the basics and you're like, okay, I'm only going to eat when hungry. Well, when you start noticing, like you're just grabbing some candy sometimes and you just notice that when you're eating dinner, you're popping food in your mouth or you're just every day, you just happen to have a snack at 3 o'clock because you've been doing that since, you know, 92. Like knowing to ask when you're hungry is like, it cleans a lot of the mindlessness up. Same thing with making a food plan. Like when you start doing a food plan, it's like, oh, this is great. I can plan whatever I want. I'm going to do that. And that helps you start eating some of the foods you like and stuff. But what ends up happening is when you have a bad day, if you're just a podcast listener, you have no resources for how to deal with your emotions, how to change shitty thinking, stuff like that. So eventually what happens is like when the outside is just listening to motivation and me explaining why things are a problem, they're not really having the support that they need to solve the underlying issues. So like if you lose, say, 20 pounds, on the outside, because you've been listening to the podcast and you have literally, like, you just didn't even know all the times you weren't eating when you're hungry and you cut some of that out. And then you get to where, like, oh, I'm going to plan food. So you're not just every day rolling it home, exhausted in the evening and eating whatever. You clean a little bit of that up and you lose some weight. But then what happens is you hit this mark where it's like, you have a really bad day, you're not hungry and you want to eat. And you've not been taught how to deal, like how to sit and pause and comfort yourself and do all the things that we talk about on the inside. It's like the four basics work until you hit your emotional level. And then what always happens is we're all going to run up on a point. That's why a lot of you get stuck when you say, I've been dicking around, Corinne, with the same 5 fucking pounds for 6 months. All of you who bitch about that, you've hit your emotional threshold. You're not doing all the things. You think you're doing all the things. But I promise you that if you're not losing weight after about a month or two, you're not doing all the things. Here's what you're doing. You're planning, but you're not digging into why you're breaking your plans. You're not working through the emotional part of that. If you're still overeating and you're doing a bajillion discovery worksheets, you're not doing all the things. Even if you've done a bajillion discovery worksheets, how many have you taken to ask coaches? If you're writing the same shit over and over again on your discovery worksheet, no longer write those same things. Push yourself to every time I overeat the same way, I've got to come up with a brand new solution, brand new thinking until I find the thinking that's going to help me overcome the hurdle. We all will hit our emotional threshold. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go to module 4 and watch the real skills of weight loss. I think it's in module 4. Lisa, tell me if I'm wrong. It's either module 4. It may not be in module 4. I'm not sure. But there is a lesson in No BS called the real skills of weight loss. When you have been dicking around with the same 5 pounds, losing and gaining the same 5 pounds over and over again, you need to watch this lesson because I guarantee you some of the stuff that you need to work on, that is where you've hit your emotional threshold. It's like, it is time to stop fearing being hungry. It is time to see that if you stop it enough, how excruciating is it? Is it as bad as you imagine? It is time to not have that evening snack and learn how to sit through your urges and learn how to actually comfort yourself. So many of you who are dicking around with the same 5 pounds, there's one big group of you out there, and it's those of you that keep eating after dinner. And you'll tell me, I'm doing all the things, except when it comes to dinner, you're eating. And you may not be eating your face off, but you're eating just enough. Past. And the problem is you haven't decided, now it's time to figure out, why the hell am I wanting to eat so bad at night? It's not the food. There's something missing in my life. And I need to get real honest about what I'm so afraid of at night, what's missing in my life at night, because unless I take the food away, I am not going to know what that is. So for a lot of you, that 5 pounds is going to break when you don't eat during those moments you really want to. And yes, you're going to have to sit there and you're going to think it's unfair. And you're going to think you should just do it. And you're going to think it's too hard. And you're going to think all of this stuff. Do you know where your 5 pounds is? It's on the other side of that conversation where you learn how to calm yourself down and say, I know you're upset. This is not like what we do every night. And it's going to feel like a long time because your brain is going to race. But you know what? We're not doing it tonight. That's where your threshold break is. And a lot of you are not doing that. You're just like, but I keep asking the question and then I just want more. It's like, yes, now we have to, like, the next step to bust that plateau is, why do I want more? What is more trying to do for me? What do I think is going to happen if I eat more? What do I think is going to happen if I don't eat more? Where are those fears? That's what I need to be addressing. Not just sitting there trying to, like, collect boxes on the habit tracker. I think that's great, but a lot of you need to do that. So back to why it wasn't on Facebook Live. Don't rely on me to remember to, like, share that. That's one of the nice things about being in the face and being inside of No BS, the membership. You got one fucking place to come, this Zoom call. We keep the link the same for a reason. Because like yesterday, my shit shut down. Guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to sit there and go out of my way to make sure I'm sharing on Facebook so that if anybody happened to be on Facebook, they could find me. That's a free public podcast. You get what you get over there. It's free. When you're a member, trust me, if I'm not where I'm supposed to be, you will be lucky if we don't send a raven to come find you to make sure you get on this call. I am always telling the team, like, look, if notifications don't go out for the members, it's like hell to pay. So we yesterday had computer issues. They had one shot to come to that call. If they were thinking they were going to be taking the way of finding me on Facebook, well, no, they should have checked their damn email because the link was in there and that was the only place Corinne showed up yesterday because I was behind due to a computer issue and I'm not going to sit there and try to like, well, let me be even more behind by sharing. I had too much shit to cover. All right. With that little preach out of the way, let us talk about if anything of note happens in the Facebook Live. Corinne has told us about it here the next. Oh, yeah. If there's anything going down, like, trust me. Like, pinky swearing on the dolly. There is nothing going on in my public podcast or on a free Facebook Live once a month that is special. I'm going to promise all of you right now, the podcast, it is a grind. I've got over 300 now, trying to come up with something to talk about at this point that can go like not too deep is hard. You know why I like doing stuff in here? Because we have the thought work tools. You have places to ask questions. I can actually teach you concepts, talk about things, go deep with y'all. I cannot do that on a public podcast. And so like in here, we are going to over deliver and we are going to go deep and we are going to go read. This is where you're going to make progress. Like the people who are listening just to the podcast, I'm just like, God bless you. Good luck. Because it's like with some of my mentors, I listen to their public podcast and then I end up like either joining their membership or buying their program. And then I get to see the richness, the things that I'm missing, the things that matter. So I think that's really important for y'all to remember. Y'all are, don't kill yourselves trying to listen to my free shit because the stuff in here is what is important. All right. Let's see. What else do we need to cover? Okay. We're at more than halfway through the Summer Research Set Challenge because we are in June. Please make sure that you are putting what you're learning into action by doing some of our weekly photo challenges that are inside of Facebook. I think this week we're doing wear the damn thing, hashtag wear the damn thing. I've been seeing lots of really cool pictures in the Facebook group that y'all are doing, which is awesome. So make sure you continue to do that because I will just tell you, when y'all are in the Facebook group and you are posting and you are showing like your courage to wear your shorts or to wear your bathing suit or to wear your sleeveless tops and stuff, you literally are inspiring someone who's probably never going to post. Like inside of our Facebook group, those of you who are posting, we get messages every day from members who write in because they're like, I'm not one to post on social. Like I barely will even like things, but I read and I'm so inspired. And they will tell us the stories of the changes they're making simply because of the things that they're witnessing in the Facebook group. So for all of you who post, who show up, who ask questions, who help each other out, just from my team to you, like it's so appreciated. Like not just from a business perspective, it's appreciated because I know how important it is for someone who is an introvert. Like if you feel socially awkward in like the real world, you usually feel the same way in the virtual world. And like my son is a really good example of someone who's never going to be, you know, super out there talking to all the people and doing all the things. But like when he's online, like there's time, like he has little software groups that he belongs to and stuff. He doesn't talk to them very much, if at all. And very often says like, that's his friends. That's his community. He feels very connected to them. And so I just, for all of you who are doing the posting, you just never know when something you share is going to change someone's day. It's going to be that little bit of a spark that says, if she can do it, I can too. Like just seeing other women showing up in a new way when it comes to their body and how they're eating and how they're thinking and just like how they're dealing with their life and stuff. That goes further than anything probably than I can say on one of these calls. I really do. There's a phenomenon that happens inside every human brain, and it's called the mirror effect. And I think it's mirror, not mirror. I think I used to say mirror effect, but anyway, you can look it up and you can find the accurate spelling. But basically, it's a psychological thing where we start mirroring what's around us. That's why it's so important that you cultivate a supportive environment for your weight loss. It's so important to, you know, check your social circles every now and then. You know, curate what you're consuming on TV, curate what you're consuming in your social feed. I have really changed my social feed the last couple of years. I follow a lot of body positivity. I follow a lot of newer people in like the workout world, like who they show a lot of really good form. They're not just showing hard bodies. They're actually like teaching things. Like I've really started curating my social feed to feed my brain the types of messages I really want to be receiving. And so what happens with the mirror effect is when you're seeing people of all ages and sizes being proud and courageous to wear the clothes that they want this summer, when you see people eating differently, leaving bites behind, it being hard but doable and stuff, your brain takes all that in. And it wants to start mirroring that behavior. So for a lot of you, you know, when you are on our Facebook group, like some of the stuff that you're seeing, tell somebody this made a difference and why. And start like making sure that everything that you're doing in your life is always thinking about, is this the nutrients that I want to feed my brain? And if it's not, you have two options. You can cut that shit out of your life. There's a lot of things that we can literally just cut out of our lives. It's not a big deal. We can just get rid of it. If it's like another human that you happen to love, but they're not exactly the person you want to be mirroring, then what we have to do is we have to cut their influence out. And that is a choice. That's like you understanding and teaching your brain every single day in your journal, writing about, here's who I want to be today. Here's how I want to show up. This is the person I want to grow into. Like, this is the kind of person I'm wanting to be. And I need to be on the lookout today because I have some people in my life that don't share these values. This is not what they want for themselves. They live differently. And I want to teach my brain that I can love them while not being influenced by them. I want you to understand this, and this is very important. A lot of times we want to blame other people in our lives for how we feel, what we eat. They limit us on what we can do and how we can show up. That's the easy way to do things. Shitty results, but super easy to do. That's why so many of us choose blame. And justification, justification sounds like this. If only they would, then I could. Sounds very lovely. Sounds amazing. Except you're now saying that in order to be the person I want to be, I need people who have no interest in it to change first so that I can change. That is an impossible, shitty, long way to go. The quickest way to do it is, I want to do this, and I no longer blame or use these things as an excuse to not do. So how can I get this done without that? How can I get this done just on my own? Because here's the thing, doing it on your own is not harder. Doing it on your own means that you can replicate it forever. Hear me when I say that one more time. Doing it on your own is not harder. That is a thought. The thought that I would adopt that's going to change your life is doing it on my own means I can do it forever. Because if you need someone else to get it done, that means they now have to have a perfect day every day. They have to have you prioritized over themselves 24/7 so that you can do what you need to do. We don't even think about it like that. Like, I want y'all to think about this. How often have you wanted somebody else to change? And when you want somebody else to be different so that you now can like stop it enough, wait for hunger. I'm not talking about big ass. I'm talking about little fucking decisions. Whether or not you're going to eat fried chicken or grilled chicken. So many of you act like what somebody else eats dictates what you put in your mouth. It does not dictate what you put in your mouth at all. And it doesn't make it easier on you if somebody else is eating just like you. You know what it means? It makes you dependent on them and their daily food choices. They better not ever want to stress eat. They better not ever want to just go out to eat on a whim and be spontaneous and not give a shit about their weight. Like, now what you are saying is, I need you to show up with a perfect weight loss mindset every day so I can do what I need to do. How about we work on your weight loss mindset and getting it to where it wants to show up every single day first? Because you're the one who wants to do it. It's your whys, it's your passion, it's your dream, and it's your goal. Why do you want somebody else to have to be responsible for the emotional energy behind it? It's because of this lie that we tell ourselves that, well, that would be easier. It's so hard when they don't. The only thing making it easier or hard is you thinking that their actions dictate yours, instead of thinking, the moment I figure out how to do this for myself, I have got the easy pass for life. Because when I'm self-motivated, when I'm self-driven, when I make choices based on what I want versus what everybody else is doing, I've got life's golden ticket. How to call my shots. I know how to show up at any moment for me. I know what to do when shit hits the fan now. Like, I literally have the answer. So don't miss that. And that is why y'all are in here, because stuff like that, I never could tell it on the outside. They're not going to get it. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to have the opportunity to ask a question if they're confused. They're not going to have the opportunity to have me give them a thought shift. And that's sad. Because I will tell you, the reason why so many of us are overweight in this country right now is not because of the food chain or anything like that. It's not because of what we're consuming on social. You know what it really is? No one's teaching us to make decisions for ourselves. They're just not. We're just told all the time, you know, like, to ignore our emotions, just stick to the plan, willpower, try harder. I don't know why everybody teaches weight loss as some really hard thing. It doesn't help people to think about it that way. When I was losing my weight, I had to watch and guard against slipping into wanting to think this was going to be really hard. I'd always been overweight. I'd never been able to lose weight. My whole family was fat, like all of those things. I had to be constantly on my own ass about saying, no, we're just focused on what we can do today. It doesn't matter what's going on anywhere else. All that matters is what's on your plate. What are you thinking about? Are you going to take a step forward? Are you going to beat yourself up in this moment? Or are you going to try to find a sliver of hope so that you can tomorrow show up again? All the time, like so many days, like so many of them, I had to tell myself over and over again, I wanted to quit so often. You do not spend your entire life overweight and then one day wake up and decide to lose weight and never want to quit, never want to give up, think it's too hard, obsess about it not being fast enough, good enough. Like all of that happened to me. The biggest difference is that for some reason, I don't know how, divine inspiration, that's all I can think of. It just made sense to me. Talking like that to myself is not helping. I have to quit talking to myself like that. I have to, when those thoughts come up, I have to tell myself another truth. Like when I wanted to think something wasn't good enough, every single time that thought come in, and it was loud, y'all. It wasn't like it was a, it's not good enough. I wish that my voice whispered. Y'all hear me all the time. If like my internal voice is as shrill, loud, and sassy as my external. Can you imagine living with this all day long? This is the how I talk to myself all the fucking time. I'm very direct, very blunt. Well, back in the day, not only was I direct and blunt, but I was an ER asshole to myself to boot. And when my brain would be like, oh my God, it's not good enough. You're never going to lose weight. Chris won't love you. Like I had all of those thoughts. You're a shitty mother. Like my brain hammered. You're a shitty mom and you're going to ruin Logan's life. Just like, you know, you ruined yours by being overweight. All of it. And I would just tell myself, we cannot talk to ourselves like that. What else is true right now? And I often would tell myself, what's not good enough is quitting. So we're going to keep going. I would tell myself, like when I was saying I was a shitty mom, and say like, well, if you think you're a shitty mom, then do something about it. I had to start somewhere. Like I just couldn't just let what I automatically thought be the thinking. And I did that relentlessly. Y'all bitch and moan about me like, I'm trying. I just wish those voices would stop. It's so hard. When is that part going to be over? I don't want that part to ever be over. You know why? We have a shitty brain. All of us have a brain that's always going to like, it's always going to be trying to figure out what's wrong. That's how like humans have evolved. I want you to think about, we wouldn't have cars and phones and electricity and, you know, like food that doesn't go bad overnight. We wouldn't have all of that unless humans were always on the lookout for what's wrong and trying to fix it. That's the only reason why your brain is hyperactive, being hard on you. So if that's never going away, we don't want to wish that part of us away. One, because it ain't going anywhere. Number two, it's because it doesn't matter at the end of the day. You know what I really wish? My biggest wish isn't that those voices end. It's that I never get tired of telling myself the person I want to be. Do that. Make that your goal. Stop making the goal that your thoughts stop because you like did the four ends. Stop making your goal. Be like, well, I asked a question in Ask Coaches. I don't understand why that thought keeps coming back. I've done like 500 discovery worksheets. I don't understand why that thought keeps coming back. That thought's just going to keep coming back. We don't know when it will extinguish and if it will. The real question is, how can you be relentless in switching it and catching it earlier and being willing to pivot and saying like, I will never be too tired to think better, ever. All right. It's kind of a rant. That is not what we're here for today. So I do have some exciting news. Every year, I just love that y'all are members during my birthday month because we party all month during my birthday month. And we do a big challenge every year. Drop it like it's hot challenge. It used to be called the gift of fat. And we decided to change the name a couple of years ago to drop it like it's hot. One, because I like to like dance and drop it like it's hot. But it's the month where we all get like really serious about donating some weight to Corinne. So we have a thermometer where we total up things. We set a goal. The coaches get involved. Like it is a party. So starting next week, we will start kind of dropping a little bit of like fun, like teases as to what we'll be doing. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to start thinking about what your goals for July are going to be. And it does not have to be pounds. What I usually do is I tell everybody, because a lot of times people want to get me cards, they want to get me presents, they want to like send me birthday wishes and stuff. And I'm like, that's great, but here's what I prefer. I prefer my members to, for this month, do what they can to gift me some weight. Gift me like a habit streak. Gift me, you know, like if you don't do discovery worksheets, then gift me a month of discovery worksheets. But gift me something that you know that if you do it during July, it can make a big difference in the quality of your life. That's what I really want. I want, not because I love my birthday, but I want to celebrate quality of life. And if that's a few pounds, if that is adding a new food, if that is, you know, only drinking once a week, whatever it is that you think, like if I started doing this, the quality of my life would improve, then set that goal. So for this next week, I just want y'all thinking about what is it that you want to do during July for my birthday month. All right, let's talk about some body image shit. All right, hang on, let me drink some water. My birthday is July 12th. I'm like almost smack dab in the middle of the month. And I have so many friends that have July birthdays. I will be turning 49. And I've been doing a lot of thinking on it. I kind of been assing around with this. This has literally kind of been my goal for a couple of years. I want to get into the best shape of my life. And I've been doing pretty good in terms of a lot. Like I am, you know, I should just give myself some credit. This is the fallacy of the A-type. And I get coached on this all the time. I tend to always have like these goals. And everything beneath it doesn't mean it's not good enough, but it's like I get so laser focused on my goals that I forget to acknowledge the progress, which is so odd because when I was losing weight, and this is what I try to teach y'all, when I was losing weight, I knew how important it was that I acknowledge things. I knew that I needed to see progress or I would quit. And this is an important thing for all of you. When you are going to work towards something big, you have to become like you've got to be better at finding progress than you are at finding what's not working. Let me say that again. When you're going to work on a really big goal, you've got to be better at finding your progress markers than you are at finding what's wrong, what's not enough, and what's not working. It is not that we're not going to look at things that aren't working and things that are broken, but what a lot of you do is you don't allow yourself to feel good at all until all of that is solved. Now, when I was losing weight, I did not do that because I made this connection in my head that I was really going to need to see progress to keep me motivated. And so that meant I was going to have to redefine what progress looked like. For a lot of my weight loss life, I thought progress was only when I lost like the first 25 pounds. Like it was, I had like these real unrealistic things. It was like, you're going to need to be working out for 3 months before you can like feel good that like you go to the gym. So I realized that the reason why I quit so often was because I was never seeing progress. I was just doing things and I'd either because I was talking to myself like a butt, like it's just like, you got to do this. You're not successful yet. Don't get too cocky. Don't get too comfortable. You better keep this streak up. Like there was a lot of pressure language around things. And I noticed that in the past, when I talked to myself like that, eventually I'd break underneath my own pressure. Like I'd have a bad day at work or like something external would happen. And because of all of that pressure I'd been putting on myself around weight loss, it was like, now something has to give. I've got pressure from the external world, and now, and I have all this internal pressure. What's easiest to let go of? The internal. Just go back to the eating. Because a lot of times, like, if shit's hitting the fan in your real life, I mean, we can do thought work for sure. But if you think about it, like, let's say, like when Logan got diagnosed with autism, Chris gets diagnosed with cancer last year. Like when things like that happen, like I can't just say like, well, I'm not going to think about autism for a while because, you know, I am still trying to lose weight. Like we have to deal with that stuff. So that's why it's so important when you're losing weight that you're finding all of that success in the new ways and redefining what that means. Most of you probably need to do some journaling on the way that I think success, like my definitions, my rules around being able to feel good about things rely on these things. Like I follow my basics. I don't ever overeat. Like look for how your rules are very black and white. I've been doing that. Like for me on getting into the best shape of my life, like just talking it out with y'all, I have literally been sweeping under the rug a lot of really big improvements that I've been making because I'm not at certain things yet. I'm not doing certain things yet. And I just like, it literally just dawned on me that I am not doing exactly what I did to lose 100 pounds. I'm not doing what I preach to all of you. So let me declare what's going right. I have been working with a trainer, my arms coach, who is now my full body coach. So we did arms for 6 months. And I told her, I was like, I don't really want to just work arms. I really want a workout program written that addresses my entire body because I was starting to get an achy shoulder. I could really just tell that my arms were overdeveloping to my other muscles. And that can just lead to imbalances. It was leading to a lot of creakiness and stuff like that. So I switched. We're same coach. So I have done all my workouts. Like I have had very few weeks where I've had to miss one or couldn't get it done. Even if I had to get it done fast, if I had to do it in the afternoon, like on Tuesday, or was it Tuesday or Monday? On Monday, I just could not get my workout done first thing in the morning. I was getting my eyebrows microbladed. And so I drug my ass into the gym at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is literally my toilet time of the day. So I'm consistent. Like, and this is the interesting thing. Y'all do know that consistency doesn't mean you do it perfectly. Consistency means you show up to do it more than you don't. That is the definition of consistency. Consistency sometimes means you're doing it regularly and every day, but sometimes consistency means I know what to do. I do it most of the time. Sometimes I don't, but I'm very consistent on moving forward. I'm very consistent in that way. The other thing is I drink a lot less than I did 2 years ago. Even last night, we went to our sports bar. I had no desire to drink. Like, and I'm going to tell you, 2 years ago, I would have thought going to the sports bar and not drinking would be hell on earth. That was my definition. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be fun. It's going to suck. Chris and I won't connect. Like that happened 2 years. And like last night I went and I was just like, I just don't want to. I'd rather feel good today than have a couple of drinks last night. 2 years of poking holes in my theories around what it would be like to sit at the bar and not drink. I have been consistent on believing I could change my relationship with alcohol into one that I really like. That is like for all of you. I want you to think about, you know, how are you going to find those successes? How are you going to, because even when I talk about like what I have changed and like how much has changed for me in the last 2 years, I am more comfortable around food than I've ever been. I can literally go to Vegas without a food plan and not eat like an asshole. Like, I have just practiced this belief that I know what I'm doing when it comes to food so much that if I don't feel like making a plan, do you know what feeling overcomes me? Not panic and worry that I'm going to be a donk. Trust. That's what I want for y'all. But it is a process to get there. And as long as all the way there, you're showing little, like showing yourself, here's the signs of it working. Here's you being consistent in showing up. Like, you know, you may not eat perfectly, and that's okay. But damn it, if you aren't trying your best all the time, you're examining, you're very consistent in examining things. You're very consistent in talking better to yourself, whatever those things are. Y'all, it's so important. That's going to give you the energy to lose your weight. So for my 49th birthday, the gift I want to give myself during the next year is I want to roll into my 50s feeling like I'm living my best life ever. And in so many ways I am. Like, it makes me cry. I have amazing relationships. Like, all of my relationships, I can't think of a single relationship that I have right now that's not better than it's ever been in my entire life, including the one with my dad. I don't even talk to him that much, but I don't have animosity. I don't like talk to him and think about what it should be and stuff anymore. But I want to go into my 50s. Just ready for the second half. I feel like 49, it's like a football game. I'm going to the locker room this year. Going to have some motivational talks. I'm going to review the game play as it has been to this point and figure out how to win. Okay, I'm going to quit talking. We're going to move on to body image. If I keep talking about my fucking birthday, I'm just going to sit and cry and have therapy with y'all for an hour. And y'all need help more than I do these days. So let's go to body image. Busting body image BS, because that's what we're here for. Of course, I fogged my glasses up with my crying. Hang on. Y'all know I can't see without my glasses on. All right. Body image work is important because how you think about yourself and your body each and every day, it's either going to make taking care of yourself harder, or it's going to make taking your care of yourself just a little bit easier. And so one of the things that we were talking about as we were coming up with this class, hang on, my glasses are just jacked. I've got like a big old makeup smudge spot and I can't see through it. One of the things that we were talking about when we were coming up with this class is, like, how do we first start changing the relationship with our body? And I think a lot of you think it's new thoughts, and that's not really it. The first thing is we really have to take an inventory of what are we saying to ourselves? How are we talking to ourselves? What are the little things that run through our head? So there's a couple of ways that you can figure this out. Number one is, and this is hard for some people. This is still even hard for me because of like loose skin. It just triggers me to just be like, no. I mean, I don't beat myself up like I used to, but I'm going to tell you, looking in the mirror, usually the first thought is my eyes like to go to the problem spots. And it's just like, well, there's nothing you can do about that. Not exactly the most empowering thought ever. It's not like it used to be. That's a big level up from that's some fucking shit. You better cover it up. That was the thought. Now I'm just like, well, this is what we got. You know, well, this is not, you know, it's not necessarily going to get any better. I'm looking for my next level ups. So the way to do it is to look in the mirror. What do you like? Literally look in the mirror and you can use your phone to record some thoughts. You can just sit with a journal. Like you get, like I have a full length mirror. I've sat naked in front of my full length mirror. I've read this book one time where they had you do this work. It was very uncomfortable. I'll tell you, it's not for the faint of heart, but I sat there with a journal and I just wrote anything and everything that came up. It wasn't pretty. It wouldn't be pretty today if I went in there and did it at all. But I want to know. I just want to know what my opinion of my body is. And then we also can look for what's called body check-in behavior. And body check-in is where you're looking for imperfections. So I tend to do body checking. Body check-in will often look like for me, I will stand in the mirror. I don't know if y'all can see me, but I will like take my legs and I'll hike them up just to see like what would they look like if I didn't have that loose skin? That's body checking. So we want to be very aware of our body check-in. We want to be very aware of what we're thinking. Now, that means you have to make an agreement with yourself. I'm going to hear probably a lot of things I might not want to hear. And for some of you, just even doing it, you'll automatically feel bad for one of two reasons. Either you'll think, I shouldn't think that way. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't care how crazy the thoughts are. I'm going to tell you, it's all okay. There's nothing wrong with you because you're hard on your body. You've probably just never taken the time to truly unlearn a lot of the stuff that you think is wrong with your body. And I will be the first to tell you, we as a society have set crazy standards. I want to tell all of you, we are so lucky to live in the day that we do. You know, a lot of us like think that social media is like, oh, it's so detrimental. I'm going to tell you right now, you follow the right accounts and it's not detrimental at all. There are so many accounts out there of women of all sizes doing amazing things. I follow several runners who, you know, have like 100 pounds to lose, 50 pounds to lose. I follow a lot of body positive people who used to be real thin, and now they're carrying around an extra 20, 30 pounds because they've had eating disorders and stuff. And they genuinely have repaired their relationship with food, and they'd rather have a little extra weight and have the freedom to love themselves and have energy than to be starved and depleted all the time. So I follow a lot of accounts where people are normalizing loose skin, stretch marks, just like the average body. And that is so helpful. I encourage all of you to do that because so much of what you're thinking about your body is changing these days about what's acceptable, what's lovely, what's beautiful, what's amazing. We have not done, like as a society for the last 100 years, I'll just say 100, we have not done that. So when we all want to think society is so hard on us, here's what I want to invite you to think. Society is starting to change. I want to be a part of that change. The only way that it's really going to be an evolution is for women like us to start redefining what beautiful is to us, what we want for us. Now, a lot of times people will say, well, if I accept my body as it is, why would I lose weight? This is what I would advise all of you. There's 1,000 reasons to lose weight other than just your body. For some of you, it's health related. For me, I just wanted to be able to play with Logan. I wanted to be able to like do athletics without it being so hard. You know, I did want to wear smaller clothes. I wanted to have the option to wear other things. I did want to look sexy, but I had to define what sexy is for me. So I just want you to think about, how can I lose weight without tearing my body apart? How can I lose weight in such a way that it's inspiring, it's motivating. It has nothing to do with something being wrong with me. And when you start doing that, you're just going to enjoy the process of weight loss so much more. You're going to enjoy the process of leaving a little bit of food behind, because the better you treat you and the better you treat your body, the less you need to keep overeating. The less the food is so important, because you start becoming more important. The next thing is, now that we're aware of like what we're thinking, we have to be aware of how what other people may think about our body makes us think and feel. And so we do that using the four N's. We want to think about, and this, you want to be thinking about three things. As, especially as you're losing weight, what is going to be your thoughts when people notice that you're losing weight? For some of you, that's good. Like, that's like, oh, I love it. Like, give me more of it. For some of you, it's threatening. You want to know that. What are your thoughts if no one notices? No one gives a shit. You're just over here losing weight. And everybody's like, yeah, can you clean the cat box? Yeah, can you stay late this weekend? Like, I want you to see, what are your thoughts around if no one notices? And then the last one is, what are going to be my thoughts about me if someone says something negative about my body, whether it's when I'm losing weight or not? Again, before we change thoughts, you know what we have to know? What we're thinking. Because very often, if sometimes when you don't judge your own thoughts, when you don't think they're bad, when you don't think they shouldn't be there, when you don't think that, oh, I'll never feel better unless they go away, when you take all that away and you're just noticing thoughts, for a lot of people, clarity is the feeling they get. Oh, it's no wonder I feel this way, because this is all the thinking I've been applying to my body and to myself and what other people are saying. Now I understand why I get so upset. And when you have understanding and you have clarity, then we can start moving on. But what we can't have is, I know my thoughts, and not have understanding and clarity, have shame and judgment and anger at them. First, we have to, then we're going to have to work through that first. Because you can't change thoughts from shame and anger. What will happen is, you won't find thoughts that make sense. Your thoughts won't feel true. Your new thoughts won't hold up, stick. The only way that they will stick is if they come from, now I understand why I feel the way I do. Now I have compassion for myself. No wonder. We can work on this. And now I'm really clear on, all right, now when I hear this stuff, I know this stuff's not a problem anymore, because that's been one way that I've been thinking about it. But I'm over here crafting another way to think about things. Oops. Next is the last part, is I want you to normalize the relationship with your body. And the way that we do that is, we start doing some things that we think normal people do. So if you're like, I just want to lose weight so I can wear clothes that fit. You can wear clothes that fit in any size. There has never been a day and age where wearing cute clothes at any size is available to us. If you don't know those places, just ask me. Good American has clothes up to 32 or 34, I believe. Very inclusive. There are all kinds of places that have very sexy, very fashionable, amazing clothes in all the sizes. So we have to start thinking about normalizing our relationship with our body, treating it well. At the size you are now means you will know how to treat it well at the size you would like it to be one day. You won't have to work hard on believing that you're going to stay there. You won't have to figure out how to like your body. You won't have to stop body checking. None of you are going to lose weight and have the perfect body. 4% of all women in the world have what they call the perfect body that we all see in about 90%, 96% of ads. The rest of us are walking around with imperfections, loose skin, shit. Like, that's just the way it is. So if you want to get to the end of your journey and not be body checking and to feel really good in your clothes and stuff, that means the journey starts today. And when you start it today, that gives you an opportunity to enjoy your changes. Don't punish yourself down the scale. It just doesn't work. It does not give you good momentum. And then the other thing is just make sure that you're participating in our Wear the Damn Thing. I would love nothing more than for everybody listening to this call to choose something that they're afraid to wear and just do it for a little bit. You don't have to go out in public just to see what it feels like to wear something you'd like to wear. Some of you may want to go to a mall and try on some clothes, whether you buy them or not, just to give yourself the opportunity to see, like, this is what well-fitting clothes feel like. This is what I think when I'm wearing well-fitting clothes. Just to give yourself the opportunity to see, here's how I think and here's how I feel. All right, if you want to kind of dive deeper on all this stuff, here's what you can do. If you're wanting to focus more on your body image right now, you can go to module 4 of No BS, that future self module. We talk some about body image and stuff and thinking about who we want to be, and then follow it up with the self-love course. The self-love course is really good at giving you prompts, asking you questions, repairing that relationship with your body. And then use that hashtag, Wear the Damn Thing, this week. Put it in the Facebook group so we can see all those things. And then don't forget that the Camp Swag boxes are on the move. They are arriving everywhere. If you want to come to camp, now is your time to register. Please don't miss out on it. It's going to be so good. This is one of the things that people are like, I just don't have time. First of all, you get the replays. I am asking for one weekend that you take time for yourself. And the other 51 weekends of the year, you can give those away to anybody and anyone who wants them. A lot of you are sitting on the fence about camp because you feel guilty or selfish for taking some time for yourself. It is one weekend. 51 others you can give to everybody else. But if that is your reason, I just want you to think about it that way. All right. Let me answer one of the questions and then we will get out of here. Not No BS related, but Corinne, how do you style your hair? I love it. I have a similar cut and would like to style it like yours. I'll tell y'all how I blow my hair dry. I'll tell you what, I'll do one better. Angela Devlin, there is no rhyme or reason to how I do my hair, but I will film me blowing my hair dry. I'm probably washing it tomorrow. Yeah, I'll probably wash it tomorrow. I'll blow it dry tomorrow and I will film it. And then I will put it inside of our Facebook group and I'll show you my products. I use, I think it's Flower and Leaf. I use one of their sprays. I use Big Sexy Hair, like some of the Root Lift powder, but you can only use a little bit of that shit. A little goes a long way. Like, it'll make your hair, like, it'll get stiff. So, but I'll do that. So that way I can kind of just show you how I do it. But literally it is not that talented. Like, I just mess it up. And then once it gets to a messy enough look, I'm like, spray it down real quick. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see you Sunday for coaching at our normal time, 10 a.m. Central Time. And then we also have the elder call. The monthly elder call is on Sunday. So check your calendar on nobswomen.com for all the times and things. There you go. All right. Talk to you later.